sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 165, 165, boys and girls, and everybody in between. You don't get old, you get better. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Would you blaze up in this bitch? Ooh, excuse me. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Dede Quebec, and Soul in the City. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on April 14, 2024. I feel like I should be remembering something. Whatever. April 14, 2024, on a Sunday. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then you too. Seriously, if I need to explain to you who Whitey is, fuck you too. But that was a polite way of saying, yeah, don't continue with this podcast. Don't continue. I mean, you can listen to it. Just your feedback won't be welcomed. All right? Leave it like this. All right, okay. Let's get the show started. Now, I'm going to start off before I forget. Give you a heads up that After I publish this episode, there will not be any episodes for the next 2 weeks. The next two published cycles. In other words, don't expect one next Wednesday or the following Wednesday. Following Wednesday is likely where I'll be podcasting again. I'm taking a break for a week because I will be out of time. I'll be in ATL. And here's hoping to come back with some experience to share with you on episode 166. All right? So there will be a delay between this episode and 166. All right? You've been told, tell a friend to tell a friend. All right? Now, last time I took a break and a person did not get the message and they assumed that I quit. I had already quit podcasting. I'm like, shout out to the people listening to this podcast, I guess. Especially those of you expecting me, expecting me to quit or expecting to have to write me an email and say, like, don't give up. Don't be a punk. Don't be a bitch. And here's a video about why you should not quit. All right. Okay. I mean that as, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be a smartass, period. All right. Okay. Right. New listeners, just to help you get familiarized with my episodes, I like to break down my shows into three parts. The first part is the intro. Second part is news and random thoughts. And the last part is called final thought. Now, I like to call these different segments acts, like when you're in a play. And between every act is an intermission, okay? All right, I just like the word act, all right? Just for the fuck of it. Okay. Right. Familiarizing new listeners. Yes. Okay. So, so far, what I've done is what you've heard so far is the intro, the theme of Shut Up Podcast. Then I spit out the title, which I gotta admit, I'll explain in final thought how it was difficult to narrow down a title for today's episode. Then I greeted, try to give a brief explanation of the kind of podcast you're in and shit like that. And yeah, just whatever. What other podcasts do? You have an intro. Everyone has an intro. Now, what might make me a little distinct is in my intros, I like to do shit like bring updates or death anniversaries. Kind of somber, right? In this particular case, I want to say RIP to DJ Mr. C. We lost him on... he was born August 17, 1966, and we lost him on April 10th, 2024. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For those who don't know, DJ Mr. C was the DJ of, because I'm old like that, of Big Daddy Kane. And he was also, from what I understand, served an associate executive producer for Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die album. Oh, wow. Yeah. Anyways, I always knew him as Big Daddy Kane's DJ. Back then, back in those days, rappers used to brag or put a lot of emphasis about the people who are in their crew, especially their DJs. And yeah. Who's the man with the master plan? DJ Mr. C on the mix. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to have more thoughts about the passing of DJ Mr. C, but I'll save that for news and random thoughts. But for now, again, I'm still in the intro. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share a thought. Okay. And this thought goes like this. It comes from a Pinterest. And the author is unknown. And it goes like this. He goes, I didn't grow up having role models. I grew up having people I didn't want to be like and seeing situations I'd never want to be in. Not all of us are dealt the right cards, but that doesn't mean you can't reshuffle your deck for a better outcome. Oh, I love this one, man. This is very well said. Right. Okay. All this is going to relate to the final thought. But for now, let's just jump to news and random thought. All right. Okay. Let's us go. All right. Let's do this. All right. Here's hoping I didn't burst your eardrums. Okay. First item on news and random thoughts. Let me start with all right. Before I get to the life of DJ Mr. C, I feel the need to just talk about, because it's significant, that between now and the last episode, Drake released a diss track, and to our surprise, a few hours later, Rick Ross dropped a diss track towards Drake. And I don't know. You know what? Okay, the beat was good. Let me put it this way. For Drake's diss, I'm going to wait to have some white boy on the internet explain to me. The diss, who he dissed, because apparently he dissed a lot of people, and it went over my head. Look, I'm coming to terms that hip-hop has reached a point where hip-hop is like a party where I feel like I'm on the outside. Like the bouncers are like, yeah, they're like letting everyone in front of me, and they're like, nah, sorry, we're full. I'm saying... Oh, man. No, I really don't like being the old guy of in hip-hop. But it's starting to feel like it's in somewhere that I'm slowly less able to relate to. No, you know what? No, that's not fair. It's not that. It's the mainstream hip-hop. I got to remind myself that the mainstream shit is not. Hip-hop is still hip-hop. Look at me about to preach. Hip-hop is still hip-hop. For example, the quote that I just shared is by a rapper, Sugar T, and I'll elaborate some more why I chose that particular verse for this rap song. Sorry, guy, got distracted, because, okay, I'm on... I'm on, this is what I told myself I was going to do. Okay, sorry guys, I'm on Twitter looking for something, a rap verse that I want to share with you folks. And and I just saw a video of some dude running over his kid on his motorcycle, and it's kind of like, kind of fucked me up. All right, okay, nope, not this one. Okay, but this is something, I guess what I'm getting at is I'm going to play a rap song by a female rapper I do not know, but the shit was dope. And hearing her, yeah, I guess because she's not promoted by the machine, but hearing that verse just made me think of, this is what I like about hip-hop. Okay, here we go. Oh, Talk to Me Nice. Yes, I just started following her. Ciroc, is that her name? Ciroc the MC. All right, okay, let me play the verse that I like. It was really dope. Yeah, I remember writing in the comments section, checking out the rapper and the rhymes that he said, and the rhymes that she said. Okay, hold on, let me transfer this to the computer where my sound card is connected to. My sound device is connected to. Bing! Then I go to this computer. All right, okay, so check this out. This is just to set the mood and remind me, B, hip-hop is not gone. Here we go. Shout out to Ciroc.
I stand straighter than ever when they tell me to buckle. Drag myself out the mud, still got the scars on my knuckles. My calm, I'm ruffled. But a haiku to you like a six-shooter do. By the time the smoke settles, I'll be gone with the duffel. Look, y'all know royalty when you see it. I am the one and only rap god. My loyal flock is monotheist. My coils locked up like Naya Bingi. I got them snakes fired up like Kundalini. Bite the most prestigious. See, I was a subject of them 90s coke trials. Now I keep that coke pal. Blaze them villas coke style. Feel me? My approach raised my artist profile. I turned the tragic to a classic like the color purple. See me? That's why they tell my cell lines trying to see where I'm lax at, but they can't hack my G-code. Y'all don't have the access. Granny told me keep my real worth on the squeaky mattress, so I can never rest on my laurels until my earth. Y'all know that hunger keep that drive up like Formula One. While they was lapping up the praise, I pulled a tortoise and won. I kept it slow and steady, stay putting my best into these characters, while they so-called street rappers pull performative stunts.
Wait a minute, I don't have to make the song. I could just do it from do I have it? Do I have the noise? More fire.
More fire.
Right, okay. And you know, I'm gonna give it that deserves a good shit by Phil Courtney, but I don't have the reggae drums, reggae sound. Oh man. What kind of black podcast doesn't have the wham. All right, okay, I'll fix it later. Okay, doesn't matter. Shout out to a friend of mine reminded me, it's like, yo, fuck, there's more hip-hop outside of what's being pushed by the machine, and by the machine I mean mainstream, like the Drakes, the Rick Ross and shit. And yeah, I guess it's my way of saying don't give up on hip-hop, even though hip-hop gave up on you. Like, I miss... Anyway, yeah. Like, I gotta find the kind of rap music I like, because that the kind of rap music I want to hear ain't gonna come to me. I gotta find them. So maybe, Who knows? We'll see. Who knows? I'm on the quest. But yeah, I'm not... who knows? I'm yeah, okay, so Drake released a diss track. And, you know, it's kind of messed up is how everyone got to open their mouth with a motherfucking opinion. It's like, I love this. J. Cole backs out from the beef and people dissed him for it. Drake jumps in and participates in the beef and people are dissing for him. It's like, I guess it doesn't, like Pac said, man, niggas gonna hate you for whatever the fuck you do. Doesn't matter, man. You don't beef, they'll diss you. You do beef, they'll diss you. You know, I think I'm complaining about the complaining. Even though some of the complaining have been entertaining. It's wild, eh? It's wild. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop here before I get into the... I miss the days when hip-hop played in the park. Who the fuck am I kidding? I was too young to be in those parks. No way. My parents would have killed me. All right. All right, okay. All right, now let me talk about Mr. C. Let's jump to the point of Mr. C. Now, I got to warn you, I'm taking my time on this episode. Like I said, I won't be podcasting for another, not 2 weeks, for a week. Yeah, for another week. So that means two podcasts I won't be doing. So I can see I'm the itch is I'm making up for it. So where was I? Yeah, Mr. C. Okay. Now, aside from being a legendary DJ who made his name in the hip hop industry, Mr. C has a bit of controversy about him. And you know what? Let me see if it's on his Wikipedia entry. Right. Okay. So, life and career, and the last paragraph, because I see the word sex. He goes, in 2013, his sexuality entered public debate after his repeated arrest for soliciting prostitution from a trans woman, from trans women. Challenged by his radio co-host, Ebro Darden, he was partly secretive but denied being gay. Oh, man. The controversy persisted until he publicly acknowledged that while not seeking sex with trans women, he had sought activities such as oral sex and questioned his sexuality. As a result of the controversy and the station's new plan of music, he resigned from Hot 97 temporarily in 2013 and permanently in 2014, moving to his own show at WXBK. Despite the prevalence of homophobia in the hip-hop community at the time, He received support from many notable hip-hop figures, including Questlove. Man. Okay. I didn't realize. I thought homie went to the grave in denial about. See, I had known it was twice. He was caught by the police soliciting sex from a trans woman sex worker. And, of course, fuck, this is hip-hop. No one was mature about that shit. It was a big joke. I remember how he took it as, you guys gonna believe the rumor? He told me was in denial about it. And towards later in the future, it had me wishing that we lived in a society or hip-hop would have been more like, not hip-hop. I wish that he would have been like, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm the legendary Mr. C. Right? This is my thing. Now, I got a, I'm debating, it's a story, right? Because it's happened to me where I found myself being attracted to a trans woman. And it fucked me up. Well, no, I won't lie. It didn't fuck me up, but I was reflecting on the fact, I remember being in a moment where I was like, so what does that mean? Does that mean I'm gay? Does that mean I'm this? Does that mean I'm that? And blah, blah, blah. And then I realized what they meant by sexuality is a spectrum. Yeah, man. No, I remember having this conversation with the trans woman. It's a long story on how we got in this conversation. Actually, it's even funnier. I'll tell you the funny part, not the, because I'm going to tell you the funny short part. This was a white trans woman, and I found myself, her and I like to get high, right? And I found myself having a conversation, an insightful conversation about sexuality. Because I'm like, wait, so what does that mean? Does that mean I'm like, what does that mean? You know, and she's like, what, hey, dude, you're not the only fucking one. There's a lot of hetero dudes who are like, damn, you're hot. And are confused about the fact that, wait a minute, what does that mean about me? Let's say about me. And two, nah, it's a spectrum. You figure it out, you know, it's, you don't have to be this or that. It's a spectrum. Right. And two, I remember having a moment with this lady as we're having a conversation, you know, smoking weed. I like this all enlightened. I'm like, I think I'm about to fall in love. And then I made the mistake of having a conversation with her about race. I'm laughing because that's the part that made me laugh. Yo, this woman was so enlightened about sexuality. And I assumed that, well, you know, fuck. I mean, since you know so much about that, you must be one of the enlightened white folks. Oh, fuck no, man. I'm not saying she was as bad as, what's her name? Is it Caitlyn Jenner? Hold on, I'm going to make sure I don't mix up my Caitlyn. Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah, okay. I'm not saying she was as bad as Caitlyn Jenner, But yeah, when it came to race, no, she still held on to the opinion. She still, that inner white man was still in her. She still held on to old white people belief. Yeah, we started talking and I realized that, you know what? Shit. Yeah, mood killer. It just buzzkill. Let's go back to talking about drugs and useless thing, because if she keeps talking about race, we might have to fight. I don't say she was saying shit. Okay. Yeah, no, she was saying some racist shit, but not like, hi, Hitler, let's burn a cross, racist. But like, don't see race. Why we gotta make shit about race? It just baffled me. It's like, how the fuck do you know so much about sexuality, but you don't know? Okay, anyway. Oh my God, I just remember where I'm talking about Mr. C. Yes, I took a detour. My point is, it's unfortunately a shame. Wow, and this is gonna lead up to the conversation. This is all leading up to the conversation I've been having in Final Thought. But it's unfortunate. I have to figure this shit out for myself. Just like Mr. C had no role models. He had no one he could talk to about, yo, I'm attracted to these women. What's wrong with me? And he probably went through life being told. So I don't know the personal, but I won't be surprised, because he kept it to himself or he was in denial about it. He went on believing that something is wrong with me. And the truth is, nothing was wrong. It's not you. Society was fucked up. It is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah. You know what? That's actually a conversation I'd like to have with other mature hetero males. Have you ever been attracted to a trans woman? I mean, women are women. Don't get me wrong. But women are women. Don't get me wrong. Period. But if you grew up in this society, you know, it's like, oh shit, the only penis you're allowed to enjoy is your own. You know what I mean? It's like, what happens when you fall in love or you appreciate, it's not the physical, it's the energy of that other human being. Do you know what I mean? It's like, anyways, I would love to have that kind of mature conversation with other hetero males, but unfortunately, I don't know any. I don't know any. And I mean, like, and I don't mean males who've figured it out, because I know some men who are bisexual who I could probably have this conversation with. But I mean hetero males, again, yes, sexuality is a spectrum, but hetero males who are like, yeah, I was messing with this girl, realized she's a trans woman. And I was not disgusted. I was actually attracted. What does that mean? Anyways, yeah. Oh, porous me. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of the questions in life that some of us will have and will never be able to answer. But should be able to answer. Anyways, all right. R.I.P. Mr. C. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking is, hey, B, O.J. Simpson, how come you're not going to cover the death of O.J. Simpson? It's like, first of all, when did O.J. die? O.J. died, let me just say, because I can't remember if I covered, wait, hold on, let me just, O.J. Simpson. He also died on April 10th, 2024. Apparently cancer got him. And I'll be honest with you, man. I have no thoughts. I honestly have no. When the O.J. Simpson trial was happening, I was in college. I'm thinking of another thought. I get easily distracted. I was in college during the O.J. Simpson trial, and I remember not paying attention to the news. It's like I put my pro-blackness on pause. Or a lot of people are surprised that I didn't pay attention. Only thing I knew is I didn't even know who O.J. Simpson was. And he was a football player. I didn't even know who he was. All I know is I just remember the van, the Bronco, excuse me, the white Bronco, and a whole bunch of cop cars following it. And I'm like, no idea. Like, it was on CNN, and everybody was talking about it. And the only thing I remember knowing is like, the certain demographic of people who thought he did it and the demographic of people who didn't do it. Yeah, it was fucked up because as far as I'm concerned, I'm loyal to my people. But okay, but honestly, no opinions. I just had no opinion. It's only when I watched the, what's it called? The O.J. Simpson versus, is that what the TV show was called? Well made, by the way. Let me see, what's it called? O.J. Simpson. Simpson versus, is that what it was called? Yeah, The People versus O.J. Simpson, The American Crime Story. That's all the enlightenment I got from, oh shit, homie was in there, huh? Fuck, I forgot. Yes, he played that role very well. Oh, no, I'm not talking about Cuba. I mean, he gave a good performance. Cuba Downey Jr. No, holy shit. Fuck, I forget his name. Hold on a second. Let me remember these actors' name. I'm looking at all the actors, and yeah, man, these guys played. They did a good job on this. All these actors. In Hollywood Reporter has this nice, beautiful picture of some of the cast of the retrial of. Okay, let me just hit back. Let me just hit back and try to remember whose name I'm trying to remember, because he played the O.J. Simpson versus the people. I have a bad habit of I forget that people are listening to me. I'm in my thought, inside look of the people versus, no, not the inside look. I just want to see the, okay, focus B. I'm trying to remember the name of a fucking actor. That's why this is where all this is going. I'm trying to remember the name of the actor who played OJ, not the woman who played, who was on the prosecutor side. There we go. Okay. Okay, oh, okay, not Cuba, yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. did a good performance. Courtney B. Vance did a great performance. Yes, Sterling K. Brown, hello. See, now I remember Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us. But yeah, no, he did, fuck, I'm going to have to, okay, you know what? I think I'm going to load my phone with the show so I can watch it on the plane. Right, getting back. Yeah, O.J. Simpson, honestly, no thoughts. No, because... And this is why I can't work in law enforcement. I need to know all the values of this variable before I conclude this. I do this formula. I need to be able to plug in all the numbers in this formula before I can solve it. That's what I'm trying to say. All right. So in the case of O.J. Simpson, all I have is we think he did it. We think he's innocent. We think he did it. I mean, I watched the show. I mean, okay, yes, it does look a lot like he did it. Right? It does look a lot. And again, this is why I can't work in law enforcement. Because I can't make these... The possibility that I could be wrong fucks with me. The possibility that I could be wrong. The possibility that OJ didn't do it. And this poor bastard went his entire life... being persecuted for it. Now, don't get me wrong. It kind of looks like he did it. Granted, I did watch FX, American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Maybe I should read the book. I mean, it also doesn't help that this fucking asshole writes a book, if I were to do it, what the fuck? Again, if I were to do it, this is how I would have done it. That doesn't help his case. You know, okay. I think the only thought I will say about O.J. Simpson, even though shout out to my homegirl, V, for she was like, yo, my mom raised me. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all, which is why I'm not talking about O.J. Simpson's death. But the only thing I will say, right, go blank on me right now. The only thing I will say about O.J. I remember taking part in the fuck it. Black people are saying he didn't do it. It's not that they didn't think he did it. No, it's not that black people didn't think he did it. it's more that, yeah, no, fuck that. Let these white people get a taste of their own medicine. Look, oh, wow, are you mad? The system hasn't worked? Well, welcome to our life. Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say about that is I still remember when, okay, I think I understood the O.J. Simpson trial when George Zimmerman was declared innocent for killing Trayvon Martin. Because I knew that was like, fuck, the man killed him. He's the last person to have a say on how he died. Basically, George Zimmerman played the system, or excuse me, his lawyers played the system to where they could say that, it was an accident. It was an accident. That black guy shouldn't have been black. Had he not been black, he'd be alive today. Zimmerman is innocent. Sorry. I remember when Zimmerman was declared innocent, and for the first time I found myself wanting to apologize. Okay, dear white people, if this is how you felt by the innocent verdict of George Zimmerman, I apologize. I get it now. What the fuck am I apologizing for? But I guess what I'm saying is when you're failed by the justice system, it shouldn't be a team sport, but this is America. And when I say this is America, I mean this is the American continent. This is the fucked up world that we live in. You know what? I should summarize the book. I find myself thinking of the book, The Three Body Problem. I'm very close to finishing it. And you know what? I'll save that for another episode. Assuming I remember. But yeah, okay. Oh, right. Now, the reason I bring up O.J. Simpson is because I'm going to play this clip that made me realize where Jay-Z got the line, I'm not black, I'm O.J. Yeah, so I guess this is the second thought I have about O.J. Simpson. And it goes like this. He goes, I don't know who this white man is, but he's about to say something about O.J. Simpson that tells me a lot about what I need to know about this guy. Here we go.
And you overheard a white woman at the next table saying, look, there's OJ sitting with all those niggers.
You said nigger, all right.
And I remember in my naive day saying to OJ, gee, wow, that must have been terrible for you. No. It was great. Don't you understand? She knew that I wasn't black. She saw me as OJ. And really, at that moment, I thought he was fucked.
OJ, like, I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay.
Right? Fucking guy kills a white woman. The fucking nurse. Okay, now I remember. See how I went from, I don't know if he actually did it, but now he pissed me off. But but I do remember one thing they brought up in that TV series, The People versus O.J. Simpson, how all of a sudden he found his blackness when he was accused of murdering a white woman. Yeah, you know how, that's fucked up, man. What kind of story is this? Now I'm bringing up emotions. Now I'm getting mad here. It's that kills me. These black people out there who are like, yeah, man, no, I'm not black. I'm an individual. But when the police, when racism comes knocking on the door, hey, black people, we need to stick together. This is some bullshit. Yeah, they showed that OJ did that shit, and it kills me. Like, that scene made me laugh. All of a sudden, they went through his house and made him look like he was on that pro-black tip, and that killed me, man. So all this to say that, interesting. No role models. Yeah, no role models. I think this is a recurring theme. I grew up with no role models, man. Or no good role models. By the way, the theme of not having good role models or having any role models is the theme of the final thought. So, yeah, as I'm speaking about Mr. C and O.J. Simpson, the common thread is no role model. All right.
Oops. I did not interview men for the first 4 years of my study.
All right. Okay. Now, there's a good role model. Now, This is labeled under, let me make sure I got my notes right. Yes, I labeled this under something Brené Brown said, and I'm sharing it with you now. And here we go.
I did not interview men for the first 4 years of my study. And it wasn't until a man looked at me one day after a book signing and said, I love what you have to say about shame. I'm curious why you didn't mention men. And I said, I don't study men. And he said, that's convenient. And I said, why? And he said, because you say to reach out, tell our story, be vulnerable. But you see those books you just signed for my wife and my three daughters? I said, yeah. They'd rather me die on top of my white horse than watch me fall down. Mm. When we reach out and be vulnerable, we get the shit beat out of us.
Yep.
And don't tell me it's from the guys and the coaches and the dads. Because the women in my life are harder on me than anyone else. So I started interviewing men and asking questions. And what I learned is this. You show me a woman who can actually sit with a man in real vulnerability and fear, I'll show you a woman who's done incredible work. You show me a man who can sit with a woman who's just had it. She can't do it all anymore. And his first response is not, I unloaded the dishwasher. But he really listens. Because that's all we need. I'll show you a guy who's done a lot of work.
Oh, my God. If you can't tell, I'm a huge fan of Brené Brown. Okay, I say huge fan. There's a lot of her books I still haven't read. But the shit that I did read has impacted me, has formed my personality. I could credit, on the list of people I could credit for bringing out this podcast, she'd be on the list. Especially when she came out with the TED Talk. The power of vulnerability. Now, when I was talking about, when I talked about not having role models, yeah, no, Brené Brown does not. Brené Brown was a good role model, but Brené Brown, I only learned about her. Oh my God. Okay, this is what happened: is I had to go for a journey in my life. It's amazing. I had to go for a journey with my life where I started to realize that this whole masculinity shit. Being a man shit, it's a fucking cult. It's like being Christian. It's a fucking cult. You're surrounded by motherfuckers who expect you to live up to their expectation. Like, you're surrounded by people ready to criticize you for not being a quote-unquote real man or real Christian. You gotta behave this way. You gotta, fucking drop and give me 50. You're surrounded by people who, your sense of self, you go fuck yourself with that shit. No. You live up to my expectation. And in order for you to be accepted as a quote-unquote man or a quote-unquote Christian, you need to behave this or that, whatever, that way. Fuck your uniqueness. So I had to go through this journey of finally seeing masculinity for what it really was and exiting from that shit. That's why I say I left the cult of masculinity. It's only after I got to that point the real growth in my life start happening. Then all of a sudden, the words of Brené Brown started to make sense. The words of some of my feminist friends, shit that they've been saying, I'm like, oh, wow. Well, okay, I get it now. Oh, wow. E equals MC squared. No, I get it now. So Brené Brown, I didn't know her. I did not have the pleasure of knowing her work during my youths. How long has she been out there? But okay. Or people, not just Brené Brown, but Bell Hooks. Did not have the pleasure of taking in their work during my youth. Wasn't ready for it. It's only when I became an adult that I'm like, oh, this shit makes sense. Anyways, about what she said about how she didn't interview men for the first 4 years. I'm not mad at her. You know what's funny is when I got out of the cult of masculinity, found myself escaping, I had this huge rage towards men. Exactly. I'm a cis hetero man who could understand women's rage against us. It was so bad that I was willing to, like, holy shit. Sorry, I just realized it's my therapist who talked me out of it. It was so bad that I was on this part of the pendulum. Like, it was so bad that it, had there been a movement out there created by women and they're trying to eliminate all men, I would have been like, how do I volunteer? And the only thing that I ask is a swift death. Should I? Like, I had that kind of rage. Now, I know there's, yeah, I had that kind of rage against men. And when I say men, I don't mean individually. I mean as a collective. I mean as a fucking idea, a concept, a standard. Man, I understood women. Like, anytime a woman would, like, I hate men. Oh, I get it, sister. I freaking get it. We were raised to be toxic to you people. It's to you people. To you. Like, I understood their rage to the point that I was willing to betray my, quote unquote, the people I'm supposed to be down with. And you know what? Me saying my having a hatred for men, it's not weird. I mean, for the most part, yes. In general, it sounds weird. But I also understand white people who hate other white people. Not individually as a concept. Or have done enough learning about, oh shit, about white supremacy and the damage it's done to the world. Or how white people are perceived by the rest of the world. Those people who are like, yeah, I hate white people too. I get that hatred, that anger. And it's not just white people. There's like human beings who have a hatred towards other human beings. By the way, the three body problem, that's what I'm trying to bring up. In the three body problem, I think this is why I love the book, is because there's a part of the story, in that storyline, there's a woman who's had it with humanity to the point that she was willing to invite a deadly alien race to come over and say, yeah, man, yo, we suck. Come over. I'll help you take over planet Earth. What I'm getting at is, I don't think it's a rare sentiment. It's not a sentiment that gets talked a lot, that gets talked about a lot. It might be a sentiment that a lot of you might not understand it, but for those of you who get it, they get it. And you have a hatred towards a people that you're not supposed to. People who are born on this earth and they hate their family, who hate their nationality. Oh, fuck. I imagine after World War II, there was a lot of Germans after they found out about the Holocaust and all the damages that they'd done. There was a lot of Germans who were like, oh, fuck. I am not raised. I mean, I love my German ancestry, but I hate other Germans. I'm sure there are people in Israel right now who are like, fuck, our government is making us look bad. I understand the hatred against us. So yeah, man, pick up a fucking book, man. Well, yeah, so this anger, this rage against your, I'm going to say, quote unquote, own people. Okay, don't get me started with O.J. Simpson, but your own, against people who are supposed to be your own. It's not that weird. It's not that weird once you get to, well, let me put it this way. It's not weird to those of us who have that rage. Maybe we can't explain it to you, but I get it. So yeah, I had a rage against masculinity. So when she starts and says, yeah, I didn't interview men for the first 4 years, I get it. A lot of us aren't trained to be vulnerable. But it is an interesting point that she brings up when she says that, yo, my wife, my daughters, they expect me to be the TV definition of a masculinity. Fuck that. What the fuck you? Fuck you crying for, pops? Yeah, I got beat up by my boyfriend, but you better not be crying. You better go out there and shoot the motherfucker. The world, the weird world we live in. Anyways, I'm just I love this piece. I guess another thing that I like about this piece is how, that's what I miss, how she had a moment of growth. She had a belief. And one person, and she meets this man, she interviews this man, and she finds herself realizing that, oh, I need to do better. And I admire that in a human being. where they have these where they have these moments of reflection and like, oh shit, I've been going on the wrong path. Let me correct myself. They show that on TV. Usually it happens in 30 minutes. But anyways, yeah. I'm just gonna end this part. We're just saying that, yeah, a big fan of Brené Brown and what she just confessed to us. Okay, all right. Let me clean things up here. What else do I have on my note? Is this the last one? No, before last one. Okay, this one is current events. I should have started with this, but because, you know, news and random thoughts, but I'm just going to go with this. But kind of looks like, maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe I'm freaking out, but it kind of looks like we're getting closer to World War III, boys and girls. I mean, fuck did we think? It was only a matter of time before the war in the Middle East before the whole world needed to get involved. Now, this is what happened. I'm just going to go with, you know, okay, I'm going to play this clip and then share my thoughts afterwards. Shout out to this content creator, Ocean Pleasant. And shout out to this content creator who, if she goes missing, it's because of what she just shared with us right now. All right, okay, here we go. Oh, wait, let me adjust the volume because it's gonna, so it don't burst your eardrums. Here we go, okay.
Hacking another country's embassy is grounds for war. Hacking another country's embassy is grounds for war, bar none, doesn't matter who you are.
Okay, she says attacking another person's embassy. That's what that first, not tack, attacking. Here we go.
If you didn't know better and you opened up the news app, you would think that Israel was bracing for an unprovoked attack from Iran. NPR's classic Both Sides Whataboutism to Fox's full-blown xenophobia, hide in your bunker, the evil terrorists are coming. Yep. And what they're leaving out is that on April 1st, an Israeli airstrike destroyed the Iranian consulate annex building adjacent to their embassy in Syria. And that was Israel's whole point. If they can force Iran to retaliate, then that forces the U.S. to get involved in the war, more so than just funding it. White House sources say Biden is frustrated that he wasn't consulted on X, Y, and Z attack. I'm sorry. Crimea fucking river, they are emboldened in these actions, bombing Lebanon, bombing Syria, because you haven't put in any motion for accountability since the start of this. Iran is backed into a corner. If they get involved, then suddenly it's a war with America as well. If they don't, they're saying to the world, you can bomb our embassies, you can take out our top commanders in a foreign country with no repercussion. What would you do if you were Iran?
But Iran is the state, is the country where they killed women for not wearing their hijab and shit like that. Look, I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of human family. Look, okay, I think this is all I'm saying is, I shared this clip because I was not aware of, I guess I'll put it in the show notes. You know what, maybe I should play it in the show notes. But yeah, I was not aware that Israel had bombed, what is it? What does Israel want after Iran's drone and missiles attack? Right. Okay. So, yeah. Israel did some fuck shit. It wasn't enough to fuck with the Palestinians. Like, okay, look, I get it. You know, Israel and Iran. Yeah, they don't like Iran. Excuse me. In Iran, they don't like each other. There's beef between those two. I get that. But can we stop pretending like they didn't escalate this war? That's not an escalation of war. You attack a consulate of another country, I believe it's in the rule book. I think what I'm getting at, what bothers me about this whole story is, like she said, I was not aware of that first part of the story. I kept getting news about how Iran out of nowhere is attacking Israel. Or maybe it's because, you know, they were pissed at what's going on with the Palestinians. It's like, nah, man, you call them out. You call them a bitch. The rules of war. Okay, you know what? Okay, no, really, if, because I don't have all the information to speak about this war, at least not intelligently, and I don't, I mean, as much as I don't mind being like, you know, the dude in the barbershop just talking shit. Yeah, I am going to say what does bother me is how the media is portraying is not acting like this Netanyahu guy. It's not kind of crazy. It's not fucked up. It's like dude's been like, yeah. I've heard his speeches. That dude does not like Arabs. He's passed, yeah, I'm doing this for my people. Like, I don't know if some Palestinian fucked his sister or whatnot, but I don't know what the fuck's his problem. But he is not a fan of the Arabs. As far as it's concerned, yo, that piece of land called Israel is ours, and the rest of y'all could just fuck off. My point is, that dude is not... I don't know if you guys are watching X-Men 97, and there's a quote Magneto, he says, there's a quote where someone says, we don't allow terrorists to be presidents. And then Magneto responds with, but yet you allow presidents or leaders to act like terrorists. Oh, shit. That's Netanyahu. Netanyahu, if that dude was not, Prime Minister of Israel, that dude would be like, I was going to say Allah Akbar, but I forgot he's Muslim. No, he'd be like fucking hijacking. He'd be like mass shooting. He'd be like cross burning, lynching. He'd be like on that fuck shit. He'd be doing shit that it's like, oh, whoa. The rest of the people would be like, whoa, okay, he's fucked. We're not like him. But because he gets to a position of power and wears the suit, everyone's treating him, oh, I guess, you know, because of all the influence Israel has all over the world, then everyone, we got to treat him like someone that you would allow to speak in front of high school kids on their graduation day. You can make it. not you Arab kids, and not you. Something tells me he's not a fan of black people too. Usually when they don't like Arabs, they're you know, not always, but usually when you don't like a race, you'll find excuse to hate other races. Anyways, I'm bothered on how the media does not have the capability of showing this Benjamin Netanyahu guy for what he really is. He's because I read he's not a popular. he got like Pierre Poilievre kind of votes. Like he's the loony bin of all the elections. See, by the way, boys and girls, this is what happens when you don't fucking vote. Then crazy motherfuckers like Benjamin Netanyahu figure it out how to get in. See, the person you see talking to themselves on the corner, and you, oh, poor person. Well, there's another version of that person who's got their life together. And they're in politics. And they're willing to take advantage of the fact that the majority of people in this country aren't looking and will not vote. Which gives chances like crazy people like me to get elected. Yeah, I that's all I gotta say. Is aside from how the media is not playing fair, and this Benjamin Netanyahu, like, dude, that motherfucker. I mean, I'm sure there's more important targets, but I'm sure he's not a fan of people talking shit about him. I mean, like, hey, if how much bullets do we have? All right, fuck it. Put money in the budget for more bullets and add that nigga to the list. The only thing that saves me, he's got on the list of people talking shit about him. It's like, yeah, no, he's got to eliminate the people who can cause a problem. Yeah, man. All right. Yeah. I felt the need to share this story. Oh, and also make a point about, by the way, and this is why the boomers in the White House want to ban TikTok. I swear, look, don't take my, like, I'm a fan of history, especially when it's repeating itself. Just listen, just watch that current Ken Burns special on the Vietnam War. Specifically the early day of the Vietnam War when the leaders were lying about it. It's like, yeah, no, we're making progress. By the way, we need to ship more people in there. And for fucking what? I think the only winner of the Vietnam War were the people who sold the weapons. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. War is not the answer. Whose song am I singing? Fuck. Whose song am I just singing? Oh my God. I didn't say Marilyn Monroe. No, what's his name? Oh my God. Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. Happy feeling like black was the thing to be. Yeah. Anyways, what's going on? There we go, by Marvin Gaye. This should have been the title of today's episode. R.I.B., you've spoken too long. Okay, so I had one last item on the agenda. I'm not going to play it, but this kind of content gives me hope on what I'm trying to accomplish with this podcast. Because I'm honest with you, man, because I'm not seeing other people doing what I'm doing with this podcast. I'm not saying they're not out there. Personal journal, basically. Sharing their personal journal on a podcast. I don't see a lot of it. I'm sure there are a lot of it. There are some out there, but I'm not. For me, I'm on uncharted territory. And this particular individual, I don't think he shares his name, but I'm just going to, I found it on Reddit. And it goes, gambling addict freaks out and details his addiction. Basically, yeah, poor bastard. He just it's just a vlog of him documenting himself taking money out of the bank machine, going to the casino, taking the bus to the casino, and playing them. Yeah, he went in with $100 and then came out with $14, whatever. But he just documents and he's pissed at himself. You know, I mean, he assumes responsibility, but he's pissed at himself. But just sharing that shit with the general public. Usually this is things you keep to yourselves. Other people talk shit about you. Oh, man, gambling, you know, degenerate gambler. Nah, he just puts his life out there. And who knows? Maybe someone might benefit. Maybe someone will connect with you. Maybe this will lead him to getting the help that he needs or figuring things out on his own. But it's just, I guess it's this kind of vulnerability sharing with the world and the hope that you think that it helps someone else. So, yeah, no, I respect this person. Oh, wait, yo, his name is, the content creator name is, okay, hold on a second. I'm going to turn the volume down. Again, I'm not going to play this because it's better if you watch it. Go to my show notes and you'll see it.
My feelings are hurt. Ah!
To overdraft my bank account to go to.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. Yep. Bank of America shows his entire journey. His name is Juman? Wow. Jumani TikTok. Yeah. Jumanne TikTok. All right, whatever. Okay. But shout out to people like that, bottom line. You know, people like that sharing their lives online. Who knows? Maybe he'll create a tribe from it and whatnot. Is there more details about this guy? Yeah. Again, links is in the show notes. Watch the clip for yourself. And I'm sharing it because it just makes me feel like, okay, it gave me a certain sense of direction for my own podcast. All right. This concludes News and Random Thought, the act News and Random Thought. Right. So now let's jump to final thoughts and put this podcast in the books, put this episode in the book. All right. Okay. Let's go. All right. In this situation, I'm good. All right. Okay. So, how do I want to do this? Okay, before I tell you what's up with the title, like I mentioned, yeah, it was a struggle to figure out what title to use for this podcast and what verses to use at the beginning of the podcast. And because it's my goddamn podcast, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to share three verses to kind of explain what's up with the title and the dilemma I had, like what I had to pick from. Okay, so first verse is by J. Cole from the track No Role Models. And to be honest with you, a lot of the ideas in that song is really where I'm going with. Is probably the core message of my final thought. Okay, and the verse that I went with is, but then I thought back to the better me, before I was a B-list celebrity, for I started calling bitches so heavily, back when I could get a platinum plaque without no melody, you wouldn't sweatin' me. One time for my L.A. sisters. What else is good? One time for my L.A. sisters. One time for my L.A. ho. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for the nigga who know. Don't save him. She don't want to be saved. Don't save him. This is a dope track. All right. Second verse, which I wanted to share, it goes like this. Then this one is from Tupac. Tupac again? Yeah, again, again, and again. Actually, no, this one is from a song by Tupac. But the verse is by Badass. And it's from his track Crazy. And again, it will all make sense in a second. I'm just giving you foundation, right? And it goes, This life is like a vicious cycle called fighting to live. No matter how hard you try, it's in death you gotta die. A lot of my peers didn't make it to the years to come. Did life do them right or did life do them dumb? Who has the answers? I wonder, I turn to my elders, the age and experience, but they can't even tell you or tell me that there'll be light at the end of the road. Message. Okay, in the last verse, again, some Tupac. Yes, Tupac. Again, again, again. And this time it's from his track, If I Die Tonight. And I think this probably summer, whatever, I'll get to it. It goes, I'm sick of psychotic society, somebody save it. Let me repeat that. I'm sick of psychotic society, somebody save me. Addicted to drama, so even mama couldn't raise me. Even the preachers and all my teachers couldn't reach me. I'm running the streets and puffing weed with my peeps. And to be honest with you, the title of this episode was nearly Even My Preachers and All My Teachers Couldn't Reach Me. Okay. Now, by the end of this episode, I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this, right? But I know by the end of this episode, I want to end with the thought, bitter or better. Bitter or better. All right? Okay. The three verses, everything that I just recited, all came down to this thought that I had, this question that I had during this week. And it goes, did all my mentors fail me? Or did I fail them? Did all my mentors fail me or did I fail them? Or have I been failed by, or the epic failure of my relationship between me and my mentors? And when I say mentors, I mean role models. Every adult who was to help me shape my life in a, I guess I'm going to use positive way. All the people I went to, I was trying to get guidance from. What did I write? All the people I look for guidance about life. All right. And where all this came from is fellow podcasters. Actually, I'll be honest. Okay, I'll just be on. Just be real. Dr. John Paul from the podcast Black Fat Fam, fan of theirs. And they commented on the fact that when the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase happened, they were in the third grade. And in the second post about, what's that chick's name? Britney Spears. Some video they're playing. And Dr. John Paul complained about the fact that, fuck yeah, man, this video makes me feel old. Now, I'm not talking about Britney Spears. That's irrelevant. I'm not talking about O.J. Simpson. What is relevant is how they felt old. It's how Dr. John Paul reminded me that I was older than she was. They was. I said she because, you know, okay, they was. And I find myself reflecting on how a lot of the people, like I'm 49 now, right? A lot of the people who I turn to for, not answers, but certain sense of guidance, certain sense of to help figure things out. A lot of the people I've been turning to are younger than me. I don't have any elders, any wise elders to turn to. I don't think I ever, if I did, those I did, later I realized that, oh, fuck, man, holy shit, I'm better off following Hitler to his grave. Meaning it was like they lost credibility. They did something to lose all credibility. Whether it's the pickup artist who made me realize that, oh, you're not a real man. You're a fucking con artist. You're not better than me. You're just a con artist. Or the crazy religious fanatic white Jesus worshiping Christian. I'm like, nah, you're just crazy. Nah, you're not wise. Jesus is not talking to you. You're just fucking crazy. I guess I had a crisis. What's the word? A crisis. An identity crisis. I forget what's the word. Crisis of, not middle-aged crisis, but some kind of crisis in my life where I realized that the people I've been turning to for guidance were full of shit. And that's why I relate. So just to say, while I was reflecting in that mode, this verse by Tupac, if I die tonight, even my teachers, all my preachers couldn't reach me, or Badass talking about how turn to my elders, their age and experience, but them niggas don't have the answers. And thinking of J. Cole about how he, so that J. Cole track about having no role models, the reason, you think it'd be the obvious pick, the only problem I have with the song is because first he starts out about how he didn't grow up with any role models. And then he goes into how you women, how the women, okay, I guess, okay, let me be fair. And I like the idea, the women he goes after, he seems to be attracted to, they didn't have any role models. And you would think it would have been, yeah. And what's not wrong, I guess what I connect with that song is because, oh, I guess the part I don't like in the song, it's like, it feels like it's a bit too, I'm going to criticize women for not having role models, as opposed to just focus on the fact you didn't have any fucking role models. And thinking about the good old, whatever. Okay, let me, yeah. What I like about J. Cole's song about no role models is that, yes, even me, I grew up and I even questioned the concept of love to the point that I remember finding myself saying, yeah, fuck it. I don't see the difference between the fake affection of a sex worker and the real affection of someone who claims they love you. Maybe I never understood the concept of love. Yeah, the concept of love is a little weird for me. It feels a little fictitious. I'm not saying it is fictitious, but I'm saying because of my background, of my history, it feels like a fictitious concept. Or it's just some idea they invented. Like, what that dude from Mad Men said, yeah, love is just some shit we created so we can sell fucking pantyhose and fucking cards. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And again, it's not, I'm going after some self-pity. I'm just explaining, I'm articulating my journey through life has brought me to this point. So yeah, I did make one note that I did say. I found myself thinking about, okay, if I could do it all over again. No, I don't, okay, I'm not trying to have regret, but I do realize that I didn't get any help in figuring out how to make this fucking life beautiful, more enjoyable. I think most people, now, I understand, shout out to my parents, I understand that's what my parents were trying to do when they introduced me, taught me about Christianity. I think it, to them, it doesn't get as... I remember my dad, he gave me a Bible when I was 25 years old. Some corny shit. And I was thinking about... I was 25 years old, but I was thinking about... I remember reading this article shortly after about how Puffy gave his son, his 18-year-old son, a car, some shit like that. I was a bit jealous. But it had me thinking about, for my dad, that Bible was the equivalent of look, I can't afford no fucking car. What I can't afford is this cheap-ass Bible. But I do believe in his mind, he felt like he was giving me, it doesn't get any better than that. Me telling you about this Jesus shit, it's me fulfilling my role as a father. This is all the guidance you need. You read this book and life will start making sense. Unfortunately, he was wrong, which happens as a parent. Every once in a while, you get it wrong. You know what? And I won't lie. There was a time where I was actually grateful for it. But then when I started seeing Christianity for what it really was, at least by my eyes, when Christianity... I'm not criticizing the relationship, I'm criticizing the religion. And the religion is just some bullshit that we inherited from our slave masters, from our slave owners, just like their last names. Their last name in this fucking religion called Christianity. Yeah, so if you can tell, there's a bit of bitterness going on, so I'm not going to talk about that bitterness, but I'm going to focus on the idea that how realizing that even my preachers and all my teachers couldn't reach me. Now, I'm not trying to, I'm making my point, you know, if your feelings get hurt. Because I know there's a lot of boomers who will listen to this and, oh, so let me get this straight. You fail, so instead of blaming yourself, you blame your mentors. Well, here's the thing. A lot of my mentors were full of fucking shit. A lot of them. Like, they didn't even have it figured out for their own fucking self. And instead of taking the time to figure it out, they prefer to put on the illusion that they did have all the answers. All they showed me was, oh my God, is I saw right through their illusions. All they showed me is how to fake it till you make it. No, how to fake it, period. Not until you make it. It's not about being wise. It's how to convince your stupid child that you are wise. So I know I'm sounding like I'm attacking my parents, but I'm saying I'm attacking all the adults. I was talking about how I brought this up before, but I want to pretend this is probably your first time listening to my words on a podcast. There's this content creator. She calls herself a highly sensitive person mentor, and basically life coach shit. And it took me as much, and I was consuming a lot of her content. Excuse me, her free content. Like, she put out a lot of shit that I found helpful, useful. But I couldn't get over this whole notion of being a coach, a life coach. And it took me a while before I realized the reason why I have a problem with the concept of life coach is because in the church, growing up as a Christian, especially maybe, I don't know if it's my personality, but everyone and their mother believe that they had what it takes to be your life coach. There was something about me because I like listening to people. Maybe because I'll repress my own opinion and be like, oh, and consider what you'll have to say. But everyone and their mom came at me as, no. Listen to me. Listen to my advice. So I was surrounded by people who either didn't have the answers or couldn't understand my questions. And as a result, it created a disconnect. So I guess even if I did grow up, let's say, with Jay-Z and didn't acquire his success, I'm not blaming Jay-Z for it. I'm blaming our disconnect. I'm saying, like, I'm acknowledging the possibility that maybe I failed them or they failed me or it's a combination of both. But the point is, the shit you're supposed to benefit from, the things that come with having a mentor that you're supposed to benefit from, I didn't get it. And as a result, and I'm realizing, that shit put me, kind of handicapped me. Now, I know this is a fictitious character I'm about to bring up, but I'm thinking about how Michael Corleone, what a lot of people love about this story is how he could go to his dad. Well, okay, after reading the book, is Michael Corleone, his dad didn't see it at first, but he had a lot of himself. His dad had a lot of himself in Michael Corleone in the sense that he wanted to be his own person. That's why his two brothers wanted to be like his dad, a gangster. He said, nah, I want to be my own man. Then after, his dad has a near-death experience. He ends up stepping in. He spends time in Italy, and he starts to understand his dad even better and ends up redirecting himself in his father's footstep. But the beauty is how he had his dad to guide him in his journey as a mafia boss. Could he have figured it out on himself? Sure, but problem is he would have made a lot of mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, I love that quote that I read earlier about how, okay, point I was making. When I had that thought about how I had no mentor, everyone that I looked to for guidance or for, not answers in life, but to figure some of this shit out are all younger than me, and that includes my therapist. It fucked me up. I remember having a moment and it depressed me. I'm like, fuck that. What's my point? All the wise folks in my life were like, yeah, I had a moment of self-pity where I was like, yeah, man, send put me on a rocket ship. Send me to my grave. Hope they bury me. Send me to my death. Headline. Pre-murder death. My last breath. Okay, sorry. Focus, B. What was I saying? Yeah, I was a little depressed. But then, it happens to me. I have these moments of depression. I have these moments of poor me and shit like that. And then after, at a certain point when the tears, I'm not saying I cried, but it was equivalent to tears, then there's another side of me that comes up. It's like, you done? You done? You done being a little bitch? I'm very mean to myself. I realize this. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Right? After those went away, it hit me. It's like, wait, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing that you didn't grow up. No, it's a good thing that you were able to see your quote-unquote mentors, role models, all these people for who they really were. Oh, shit, maybe I am going for a Michael Corleone face. Maybe you're just grew up to be your own person. Maybe that's what it's all about. And another thing, too, it made me realize that it's not true. I'm wrong in saying that I didn't have anyone older than me to look up to for answers. What I'm realizing is that, okay, most of my elders, not, I'm going to say 90%, those who are elder than me are women. And it took me a while to acknowledge that. Oh my God, yeah, it's so fucked up, right? I guess I still have traits from the cult of masculinity. I completely discard that. It's playing that clip by Brené Brown that reminded me. And it's like, oh shit. A lot of the human beings, a lot of the people who I'm getting my wisdom from isn't, what's his name again? Michael Corleone's dad, Vito Corleone. I don't have Vito Corleone in my life. I don't have the Tupac, whoever he grew up to, the what's that pimp's name? Whatever, man. I'm thinking of all these rappers, and they brag about, yeah, who they got the game from. What Tupac, what Jay-Z say? Goes, I didn't have no pop. Thank God I had the block. I got game from other gangsters. No, I don't have any of that because none of them can understand the path that I'm going through. Most of them, they'd be like, what the fuck? You wanna stop that bitch-ass shit? I wasn't meant to be like them. But a lot of the people who I am getting my wisdom from just happen to be women. I just forgot about that. The one exception to the rule, the one person who's older than me would probably be Talal Macy. He's a poet. Yeah, a lot of these rappers, I'm like, I think that's part of why, like, rap has gone into a part where I can't, like, I don't mind being on the outside. Fuck it. Because it's, they talk about shit that I can't connect with. Fuck. I sleep with a CPAP machine. Rap about that. I'm bad. I sleep with a CPAP. Whatever. Okay. Right. Okay. Finally, let me try to wrap this up and see the time. I'm feeling good because this is actually the shit that I'm saying is very therapeutic. The title, finally, not to answer the question, what's up with the title, where I got this title. I was on my YouTube music and new release, and I saw the name Sugar T. I'm not a huge fan. I don't know Sugar T that well. I'm not saying she's good or bad rapper, but she's not one of those rappers that the machine push on me. The one thing I didn't know about her is like, oh, right, she's related to E-40. She was on that song Sprinkle On Me, which I did like. And out of sheer curiosity, I decided to hit play on that first song. And it's called Harris? Okay, it's one of those words in English I have difficulty pronouncing. Her, you know, like hurt, like, oh my God, hurt, oh my God, goddamn English word. When you, inheritance there. Okay, let me type it in, because I can't pronounce the word. Fuck the English language. Harris. Harris? The hers. Harris. Okay. Let me read the definition. First of all, fuck it. Before I pronounce, how to pronounce it? There we go. Thank you, Google. Kind of weird how Google can read my thoughts. Go.
Eris.
But that sounds like the god there.
Eris.
Okay. And right. Eris. So you know what that means, Eris? Like, you know, like the. Eris definition. Welcome to Shut Up Podcast. We teach how to speak English. A woman who is, God damn it. Sorry, I got popped with. Do you want to accept these cookies or not? Okay, a woman who is her, especially to great wealth.
Heiress.
Heir. An heir. Okay, yeah. The male part is heir, and heiress is women. Okay, a woman. Okay. So before I continue, because this is a bilingual podcast. Translate. What's the heiress en français? Translate to French. Japanese. Sorry, I'm watching the show Shogun. Hence why it's asking me if I want to. Okay, French. Héritière. Okay, fuck, ça fait de sang. Okay, héritière. Okay, mais le masculin de. The heir, c'est quoi? An héritaire. Okay, there we go. I love this journey. Oh my God, okay. What the fuck was I saying? Right, okay. So, she's got a new album out, and it's called I Am a Heiress. Right? I'm still struggling with that word. And I decided to hit play on that song. Now, I love hip-hop. Don't get me wrong. Her and I, the song was dope. Especially the chorus. And when she kept saying, don't get old, you get better. You get better with time. You don't get old, you get better. That's the chorus. The rest of the song, the lyrics, it's like if we were in a barbershop, I'd be like, yeah, come on, man. I wouldn't. Basically, she just talks about how, yo, times have changed. These youngins don't get it. Whatever. You got to hear the words, right? And it's one of those. The song is dope, but the lyrical content, it's one of those, yeah, I don't fully agree with it. You know, does that make sense? It happens a lot in hip-hop where I like the beat and everything like that, but what you're saying, yeah. I've heard other old people make that same complaint. But that's not the point. The overall point of you don't get old, you get better. That's some role model shit. She reminded me how, and it's something that I said in the last episode, aging in self-acceptance, or previous episode, whatever. about how, because I talked about how Oprah Winfrey, she mentioned one of two things that helped me age with grace. One was the notion that you are enough, and two, Maya Angelou. Having someone else, another role model to look at who exemplify what it means to grow old with grace. Again, most of the people I'm surrounded with, they won't tell you out loud, but deep down inside, this whole getting old shit is the worst thing that can happen to them. And they find some way to express it. Like, these are the people who surround me. Meanwhile, I grew up with this idea, or I remember being introduced to the concept of, actually, I should bring up, this is me, and I talk shit a lot about the church, but I'm seeing the one time they got it well. Joyce Meyer, she's a preacher, Pastor Joyce Meyer. I think she's a preacher, pastor, whatever. And I remember in one of her sermons, she says, yo, you want to be bitter? Are you going to be bitter? Or are you going to be better? Now, I'm realizing that's part of getting old is the tough decision you got to make between bitterness and being better. Bitterness is fucking easy. Bitterness is just waiting for it to come on. Come on. Being better is the struggle. Like I said, and that's how I ended up on my journey, bitter and better. Bitter and better. So what I'm realizing is one thing on my journey to being an older person that I'm constantly being reminded between being bitter and being better. And I also had a moment of realizing, a moment of realizing when I was after crying and that wise part came out and said, yes, you want to be bitter or be better? And it also had me thinking about how maybe your role, just because you didn't have a role model doesn't mean someone else should be deprived of one. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go out there and advertise my skill as a mentor, role model, whatever the fuck. Because I'm still on the idea that I'm still figuring this shit out myself. But it also makes me think of how I mentioned in an earlier episode that I'm not offering solutions on these podcasts. I'm not offering solutions. I'm probably giving you more questions to your questions. But I guess one thing that I have learned is not to trust the person who acts like they have all the answers, because 9 times out of 10, they don't. You're better off, or at least I've always respected, my favorite teachers were always the ones who help you figure it out on your own. It's like, instead of, you know, memorize 4 plus 4 equals 4. No, that they were like, hey, 4 cookies. You see these 2 cookies, right? You see the other 2 cookies? How many cookies do you see? 1, 2, 3. Oh, my God. They help you realize. Again, shout out to Stephen Covey. Oh, I guess he would be on the list of role models. Book authors. RIP, Mr. Stephen Covey. But he might have been racist, for all I know. Whatever, because he's white. Whatever. But my point is, there's this thing he said is, I think he got it from Good Will Hunting. No, some other movie that Robin Harris made. Make sure I got his name right. Robin Harris. I tend to confuse the black comedian with the white comedian. Robin Williams. Yeah, Robin. Yeah, Harris is the black comedian. Robin Williams is the, funny white comedian who died and who committed suicide. And I think it was one of his movies, Dead Poets Society, where he talks about the real teachers aren't the one. A real teacher doesn't put something in you. They bring it out of you. So my favorite mentors have always been the one like Morpheus. Or no, not just Morpheus, like Oracle. They don't tell you you're the one. They make you realize it on your own. It's like, oh, shit, I do got a big dick. You know what I mean? Sorry. That's not how the movie Matrix went. But I was trying to be funny. But I guess as my journey of failed mentors, teachers, and all that, the one thing that I have learned, the people worth your time listening to aren't the people who say, here's the answer. Jesus is the answer. That's it. That's all you need to know. Nah, they can answer why. They're humble. One, that they have a certain sense of humility. And two, their way of thinking allows you to figure things out on your own. That's what I'm saying. That's what the one thing that I'm somewhat sure of. They don't give you the answers. They help you figure it out. And it's not no trick shit. And it's not because they're trying to get you to buy their DVDs. This is where I would credit that woman I was talking about, Alicia Boyer. Is that her? Yeah, Alicia Boyer. Like, I like how she doesn't, sure, she advertises her business, but the free shit, it's like, here you go. If you want to learn more, holler at me. But here's some tidbit that could get you going from now. Like, it's less about the business, it's more about your progression. That's how you know that you can trust them. Or they're worth your time. I'm not going to say they can trust them, but they're worth finding out more about. Okay, yeah, here we go. That's probably the one piece of advice I'm giving out there. So, with that said, like I promised you, I ended this segment with the thought of Bitter and Better. The title of today's episode comes from a song by Sugar T. Shout out to her. I think something tells me, I didn't read her whole profile, but something tells me she's on that self-improvement shit. But I think mainly for women. But still, shout out to Sugar T. And also, shout out to, what's the other rapper? Ciroc. yeah. All the hip-hop artists that, and poets that have a lot to offer, but you're the one who have to seek them. Because this machine ain't going to promote it to you. Sure, maybe, you know, ear to mouth, word of mouth might help, but whatever. You know what? I should mention, okay, before I conclude this episode, I'm going to Atlanta to a poetry show, and I'm looking forward to come back with some wisdom. And I'll make the trip worth it. So, with all that said, just a reminder, again, no episodes for episode 165 won't be released until, episode 166 won't be released until the following Wednesday. So, yeah, not this Wednesday. No episode this Wednesday. No episode next Monday. It's going to be on Wednesday. Unless something happens. But with that said, mesdames et messieurs, this concludes today's episode. Mesdames et messieurs, et tout le monde au milieu. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. 165, you don't get old, you get better. As always, go to the website if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these social media apps like Twitter, Instagram, and Threads using the handle @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, it's @ShutUpPodcast.com. But if you're really, really, really serious about finding me on the internet, on these internet streets, go to ShutUpPodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website and or go to, you know, other places where you find podcasts. But seriously, also, one last note about if you go to shutuppodcast.com, show notes are there. They're broken down into the three acts of this podcast with an additional section called Other Links. Other Links is just shit that I've read that I may have consulted for this episode, or they're just cool links that I think you'll like, or links that you'll find cool. All right. With that said, thank you for listening as always, and please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.